Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
And while you build it, tell all your neighbors, you know, that if they don't know Jesus, they might end up in hell, and let me know if they're going to help you. And the answer is no. So I say to you, it's not that hard and it's not that bad. If this guy can do it with a hammer and a saw and some trees, you can do it. But you must be willing to surrender to Christ, and then you begin to live a fearless life that can take on these challenges fearlessly. So I ask you, I'm going to skip over some of my notes. Well, who cares? What I'm going to ask you now is this. What ark is God asking you to build? What ark is he asking you to build? What has he put in front of you? What obstacle, what problem, what challenge, what issue that is so big that you stand in front of it and it looks like that thing on the screen behind me, or for those of you at home, on the screen in front of you, okay? That it looks like that, and all you have in your hands is a hammer and a saw. But if you put your faith in God's word, if you line up your life according to his will, if you are willing to walk faithfully. In other words, I'm not going to contaminate myself. I'm not going to listen to what a world that doesn't honor God or care about God does. Then God is going to bless you with the resources and the strength, the ingenuity, the ability to carry it out. So I ask you again, what is your ark? In the scriptures, the ark is a positive sign. It's a sign of salvation. But I'm kind of flipping it on its head a little bit. And I'm asking you, what is that great challenge? What is the great obstacle? What is the great pain? What is the great problem that you stand in front of it and you look at your hands and you're like, it's not enough? And this morning I say to you, it is enough. You do have enough. When you have Christ by your side, when you have the word, when you live by it, when you see it God's way, when you the heartbeat is the same as God's, it can be done if it isn't his will for you. That's the other thing you have to take a step back and ask. Is this God's will for me? And if you look around and you don't see the material to build it, and you don't see the hammer and the saw, and you don't see some materials, then I'll probably say to you, it's pretty safe to say it's your idea, not his. Does that make sense, church? See how that goes. So now, let's fast forward a little bit. And let's say this. Our third point. We talked about Noah's character, about his actions, this impossible thing. Now about his choice. He says, you're to bring into the ark. I'll read from verse 19 just a little bit for you. Two of all living creatures, male and female. Notice this. Birds, animals, creatures that move along the ground, the creepy crawly ones, the yucky ones, to be kept alive. Bring all the food. And then you're going to be locked up in there for several months. We'll talk about it at the end. You know, I've asked myself the question as I looked at this, and I hadn't really gone to Noah in a long time, so this is so fun. This is so good. Have you asked yourself, what was really going on in the ark? What was really in the ark? Have you asked yourself the question? And you're probably saying, wait a minute. You just read it for me. Two of every kind, male and female, right? Creepy crawlies, the big animals. Let me ask you again. What is really in the ark? Think about that for a second. Because you get lost in the animals. You get lost in the flood. You get lost in the rain. You get lost in all that. And you have to ask yourself, what is really in the ark? Let me give you a couple of things. Would you agree with me that there would be prayer in the ark by this family? Prayer for strength, for courage. Think about it. You are in a very big wooden box. That's what it is. And you are just tumbling around in the ocean. You don't have a sail. You don't have a rudder to take it where you want. You are in just a box that is in this massive ocean going back and forth. And the thing is rocking and there are animals and it smells like a zoo. And you don't know when lunchtime is, and sometimes you can't tell if it's night or day. The ark is full of prayer for strength, for courage to survive it. When you find yourself being tossed around by what's going on in life, do you pray or do you try to solve it yourself? Do you try to stick your head out of the ark and put a rudder in the water and try to start steering the thing yourself, and then you realize you can't? It's too big. It's too heavy. It won't listen to what you're doing. And it brings you to your knees in prayer. And that's when you have to reach out to others and say, pray for me to survive the storm. The ark is full of prayer, not animals. The ark is full of power. The ark is full of power because you have a family sitting inside a wooden box being tossed around by waves and under lightning and rain. And you have to know that God is powerful enough to save you if he challenged you to build the thing in the first place. The ark is full of power because you know that you're being saved by God. You know that God is the one, the only one who can figure this out. The ark is full of purpose. Think about it. No one knows. He's already been told that everybody is going to be wiped away. He is the new Adam. We're starting over again. Recreation. That's why I mentioned at the beginning. Purpose. When he gets off of that boat, this floating wooden box, would you be intimidated by that purpose? To be the first people again? To try to put this thing on track again for God? The ark is full of purpose. Noah is waiting for the sun to shine, the waters to go down, to get to work on what God wants for his life. Church, if you can find, and I alluded to this earlier, if you can figure out your purpose, your God-given purpose, life becomes, I guess to use the metaphor because we're talking about boats and water and whatnot, smooth sailing. Choppy from time to time. Smooth sailing when you know your purpose. And the ark is full of expectancy. They're waiting and they're waiting and they're looking ahead to what God is going to do. The word expectancy, very curious word in the Greek. It's three words put together. And it means basically turn your head from. So it's like turn your head away from something. Turn it another way. And what I say to you this morning is this. Live fearlessly your Christian life for Jesus because you can look beyond the storm. Don't get caught staring at the storm. Look at the clearing behind it. Look beyond it. See what God is preparing. See the new creation behind it. See the dry land. See the sun shining. Big storm in front of me, but I'm not going to stare at the storm in expectancy. I'm going to turn my face away from it, turn my head, because I want to look beyond. Church, look beyond. Don't get stuck looking directly at the problem and saying, oh no, woe is me. What am I going to do? Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes. Look beyond the storm. Look beyond the dark clouds and the rain. Look beyond the problem. Look beyond the anxiety. Look beyond the challenge. Look beyond the obstacle. Look beyond. Be expectant, because that's where hope is born. Hope is that sweetness of knowing that God has prepared something even better. And it's coming, and it's on the way. The ark is not full of animals. The ark is full of prayer, power, purpose, and expectancy. And you know what's great before I close here as we enter into our last point? Because this last point, this third point, I entitled it that Noah was listening. He was obeying what God was saying. Up to this point in this Genesis narrative, Noah hasn't said a word. All you keep seeing is Noah obeyed what God commanded. Church, if you want to live a fearless life, if you want to live a life that is bold and brave for Jesus, not just bold and brave for yourself, bold and brave for Jesus, a life that has purpose and power, expectancy and hope, and it's marching along to the beat of God's drum, there's a reason that God gave you two ears and one tongue. So you would listen twice as much as you talk. That's important to remember. Doesn't say a word. All he's doing is obeying and doing what God wants. So we close. I'm going to take you to chapter 8. I'm going to jump out of chapter 6. Just one verse out of chapter 8, verse 1. I believe we have it for you. For those of you at home, you'll see it on your screen. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. They were safe but not saved. Until the waters are not gone, they're not really saved. Until they're back on the ground, they're not really saved. And there is a sense of waiting on God's deliverance. There is a sense of, and it goes completely against our nature, it goes against our society, to wait for God to do things, to wait for God to act. But one of the great things that made Noah the kind of man that he was righteous and blameless and he walked faithfully with God, that made him fearless was that he was willing to wait for God to accomplish his word. And then the beautiful word of chapter 8, God remembered. God doesn't forget about us, church. What the phrase is meant to do, it's God was now prepared to act. And I love the fact that it says he sent a wind over the earth. That kind of points back to the Spirit of God helping with creation. The same wind that would push back the waters to escape Egypt. Here's that wind again, bringing salvation to this family. When God remembers, God is moved to action. You know, I hadn't been in this text in a while. And when you do the math, there's two verses that talk about this begins when Noah turns 600 years old, and then it kind of ends when he's 601. But when you do the math of the months, and then you send out the raven, he doesn't come back. You send out the dove, and we'll talk about that for 2 seconds as we close. When you kind of put it all together, the ark journey, the flood, is about a 7 month, give or take 8 months, kind of ordeal. And I was thinking, my goodness, what a parallel to what we're going through right now. We've been in this thing, right? This whole virus and back and forth for about 7 or 8 months now, going on that. We're bordering on that now. And I just found it incredible that the timing seems almost the same. God delivered these individuals from the greatest catastrophe the earth had seen up to that point. They did not have the resources that we have. They did not have the skills. They did not have the medicine or the technology. But trusting on God's word, they survived. So, church, I say to you, whether they tell us to wear masks for a longer time or not, whether there's a vaccine or not, whether, you know, however the country slowly opens up, listen, let's wait upon the Lord. Let's look beyond this thing to what God is preparing on the other side of it. Don't get lost so much in the detail. Again, as I said at the beginning, be safe, be smart, obey the authorities. Let's keep seeing how we figure this thing out. But look beyond it. Look to what's behind it. The beautiful new place that God's going to bring us all to. Kind of a new normal. But for us, Lord willing, God's normal. I just find the parallels of the time incredible. And I just wanted to kind of throw that out to you. Don't be afraid. Be smart, be responsible, be obedient. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I was on a text message thread that a lot of pastors are on. And there are pastors, you should know this, and you should pray for them. They'll remain nameless. I know a couple on this thread that are going through severe depression because of what's happened. Because here you have, and some of them have been pastors much more, longer than me. They've been in churches for 30, 40, 50 years, nearing retirement. And all of a sudden, you know, your church family is gone. That's hard. That's hard on some of these men. You know, but that's why I say to you, cannot lose hope. Continue to be expectant. Look beyond the storm. Look beyond it to what God is preparing on the other side of it. And God will get us through. We'll close with this word. As we navigate life, as we slowly walk with God righteously, blamelessly, faithfully, I want to just bring this image to you. And you remember this part of the story where, you know, Noah first sends out a raven and it doesn't come back. You know, raven for them is an unclean animal. It was the one animal in the ark that was expendable, if you want to look at it that way. You know, it was an unclean animal. It wasn't really good for anything. But then what's the next little animal that he sends out? The dove. Doves were used for sacrifice. And it's funny how he sends it back. They signified purity in the sacrifice. He sends it out and it comes back. And he sends it out and that little thing keeps coming back to him. And there is a sense of purity that God grants us. And of course, where do we see the dove in all its magnificence, if you want to say that in the scripture? When Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit like a dove descending on top of him. That's the language that's there. There is a sense that when we are finding our justification in God's word, there is a sense that when we are saying no to society and yes to obeying God, walking blamelessly, walking faithfully, trying to find that same heartbeat, that same perspective on it, God will continue to bless us with Holy Spirit power and purity to keep us faithful along the way. That little dove kept coming back again and again. And I want you to know that it's every day with us, with Christ, again and again, giving us more and giving us more and giving us more and lining up more, lining us up more. But, would you open the doors to let that little dove, to let that Holy Spirit step in and purify you and empower you and push you forward, give you the eyes of God that you would walk His way? I say, church, rip your heart open and let the Holy Spirit do its work. And we finish with this. God's promise. You know it better than I do. The story finishes with worship and a rainbow. The first thing that Noah does when he survives this, worship. When God delivers you, when God brings you to that new place, when God opens your eyes to see His purposes for your life and He's helping you walk them, worship, church. Worship. He surrendered Himself. He surrendered some of the animals He saved that God would be glorified. And God responds always. Not only does He remember, but then He makes a promise that He wouldn't do that again. And just in case you're wondering, if God keeps His word, every time it rains, do me a favor, look up at the sky. And you're going to see the rainbow. And you're going to see a God who keeps His word. Are there catastrophes, hurricanes, stuff around the world? Yes. Total annihilation on this scale? Not even close. God keeps His word. But there's a deeper meaning that I want to leave you with. If you take a rainbow and you turn it on its side, right, it looks like an ancient weapon, a bow and arrow. Because in the scriptures, it's called a bow, not a rainbow. It's called a bow. So God is saying, Noah, I am putting down my weapon of war that you and I, that me and humanity might have peace. That there would be a bringing together, a coming together of God and His people once again. And I want you to understand that every time you look up at the sky and you see a beautiful rainbow, it's not so much that God is not going to flood the world. Don't lose yourself in that. Don't get lost in the flood. Please, look beyond it. You need to understand when you see a rainbow, it's a reminder that in Jesus Christ, God has said, I am granting you another opportunity of salvation. I do not want to be at war with you. I want peace. And peace with me is only found at the cross of my Son, Jesus Christ. If you would say yes, then that rainbow, then that promise, that peace is yours. So the next time you look up at the rainbow, say, thank you, God, for giving me Jesus. Because that's what the rainbow is really pointing to. God does not want war and conflict. God wants to have a family of faith that will be united for Him forever. Amen, church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for extending a hand of peace to us in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that You would infuse us every day, top us off, so to speak, with the Holy Spirit. He dwells inside of us. Forgive us when we don't listen. And I just pray for a greater sense of His voice, of His influence, of His power in our lives. Top us off, Lord. Give us more. Lord, I pray that whatever arc we face, that You would empower us to build it with You in Your power, in Your way. Whatever obstacle, challenge, pain, issue, that would be conquered by Your power. And thank You for giving us the privilege of holding Your hand through that challenge, through that obstacle, through that pain, through that problem. Oh Lord, thank You for, on the other side of it, giving us the ark that is Jesus Christ, who has rescued us from the waters of judgment. And thank You for the rainbow in the sky, reminding us of His great sacrifice for us. Make us fearless like Noah, that we would obey your word, trust in your promises, and keep the influence of society away from us, that we might be pure and that we might reflect your glory. Make us fearless in that fashion, Lord, that we might tackle whatever obstacle or challenge fearlessly that you put before us, not in our strength, but in yours. Not in our way, but in yours, because now we know what our purpose is for our life, because our perspective, our eyesight, our desires are lined up with yours. Thank you, God, for a man like Noah. Thank you for his family. Thank you for their incredible faith and surrender to you. Father, I pray that you would find that same strength and surrender in us as we live fearlessly for you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.